Good morning. I'm Kyle Amler with the guru, Chris Bellina, and you are listening to The Blitz, week 7 already.
Wow.
Time zips on by.
It does. I mean, you wait for it all year long, and before you know it, it's Christmas time.
It is.
You know, the season's over. You know, your fantasy football's over with. It just goes so fast.
It does, and your hopes of a season of success can go down really, really fast, and now you got people in the middle that are moping around saying, oh, you know, what happened to my team that was so perfect in my mind when I drafted it? And now it's just...
Yeah.
Anybody who drafted David Wilson, for example, is crying.
Trent Richardson
is really... wondering why. Why did I do that? There were so many other options out there I could have taken with my first pick, and that's who I took.
Oof.
Why?
Now's the time to make some moves and make some trades, and maybe we'll touch on a few options for you as we go through some of these games.
Absolutely. Arizona and Seattle is the first game we're going to talk about today. The Cardinals, it looks like they may find themselves with a real running back now.
Mendenhall. Well, he's a dual threat, and I like dual threats, especially in points per reception league. And Andre Ellington looks like he's the real deal.
Yeah, he does. He's averaging 7 yards a carry, and Mendenhall's nowhere near that.
He stinks. I've been down on him for years. This is going to be a good test for Ellington. I mean, he's going against a good defense, probably the best defense he's going to be going against, where he's going to see increased playing time. But, you know, I'm looking at both these teams, and you know, for all the big names I see in here, there aren't a lot of must starts. Marshawn Lynch is one for sure. You know, a lot of people last week got duped with Larry Fitzgerald, and they're going to throw him in the lineup again this week. You know, a lot of people sat him based on his injury, and this and that. He had a humongous game.
Yeah, he just fooled everybody. Close to a game time decision. Now, Percy Harvin, he's supposed to be coming back soon. Should people get in there and make sure they grab him before, or is he still got a while to go before you think he comes back in?
Well, I'm never a big fan of wide receivers switching teams. Because again, you gotta get into rhythm with your quarterbacks. It's just so much. Now he missed, you know, three quarters of, you know, or, you know, half of the season. I just don't see him having much fantasy impact right away. I'd want to see what role they're gonna use him and how many snaps he's gonna get before. I mean, if he's available, grab him, but I wouldn't be hesitant to start him just yet. There's so many wide receivers. There's so many more options that are a little bit more surefire than a risk at this point. You don't want to start taking risks in the middle of the season. You do that week 1, 2, and 3. Tell you a guy who's major disappointment for me so far this year has been Michael Floyd.
Yeah.
You know, and I think a lot of us do. Carson Palmer is not as good a quarterback as he was when he was with the Raiders with less weapons. So I don't know what's going on with that offense. It's definitely a major disappointment. There's some hope for those Andre Ellington owners. But for this week, you know, I think anybody on the Cardinals is a risk to play, to include Ellington. If you have to play him, play him. Fitzgerald, same thing. He's still injured. He's not 100%. Going against probably one of the better secondaries in the league, I'd be hesitant. If you have a better option, a Keenan Allen or a T.Y. Hilton, someone like that, you may want to put him in. Harry Douglas. And just sit Fitzgerald this week. That would be my recommendation. Of this game, I'm just playing Marshawn Lynch. Nobody else is a must start.
On both sides of the ball, right?
Both sides of the ball.
Yeah, that's pretty bad. But at least we got both these teams out of the way right away. We don't need to worry about either of these teams too much, except for Marshawn Lynch.
You know, I'm telling you, I would be okay if they did away with the Thursday night games. I mean, it's almost becoming football overload at this point.
Are they playing Thursday night? I don't even know when they're
playing. That's the Thursday night game. Yeah, that's the Thursday night game. They're also talking that in the future, not this year, I was hearing doubleheader on Thursdays.
Ugh. Why don't they have doubleheader Thursdays in England? That'll make everything better.
Yeah, why not?
Ooh, geez,
I'm at the point now where it's almost too much football.
Well, you know what's sad about that, and this is obviously off topic a little bit, but my wife, and I used to tell her, I said, well, I'm only watching these games on Sunday. She's like, oh, really? What about Monday night? What about Saturday? What about Thursday? I'm like,
All right, fine.
All right, you do kind of got me here. I guess I do watch football every day just about now. So, off topic, obviously. Atlanta going against Tampa Bay. Roddy White pushing himself a little bit too hard, trying to get back in the game, hurts himself even more. Which is going to devastate Atlanta, I think, because now with the horrible news of Julio Jones being out and Roddy White gone now, and their defense being as bad as it is, wow.
This is a team that, yeah, this is a team that had Super Bowl aspirations, and they just, before they even were injured, they weren't very good. And this is only going to go, this is going to be a spiraling effect. And, you know, if you could trade a Matt Ryan at this point, now's the time on a, someone who, because he's a brand name, without Julio Jones, a hobbled Roddy White. I mean, Harry Douglas, you know, he's fine as the number three, but as the number one or two.
That's what I was going to ask. Is he good enough to get,
you know, he's going to get targets. The thing is, who's their number four receiver that's going to step up to be the number three? I just don't know. It's going to be a lot. I tell you, if I'm a Tony Gonzalez owner, I'm thrilled right now because he's going to get a lot of action. You know, but, you know, Steven Jackson coming back from an injury, I'd be hesitant. I'd be hesitant with Jaquez Rodgers. Like, he had two touchdowns, but if Steven Jackson does come back, how much is he really going to get? Roddy White is injured. I wouldn't. He's a must sit at this point. On the other side of the
ball, that's not one you hear very often. He's a must sit. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I would play Roddy White till I see him, you know, surpass 40 yards in a game, which hasn't happened yet this year. And Matt Ryan is cusps. You know, with this, seeing how this offense goes with an injured Roddy White, with a Harry Douglas as your number one receiver, and no Julio Jones and a suspect running game, I tell you what, I mean, if you have a Alex Smith or you have, you know, Nick Foles or you have, you know, you had, you know, Philip Rivers as your backup, Matt Ryan's got to sit. He's someone, if you have a better option, I would sit Matt Ryan at this point till I see how things shake out. I mean, you don't want to ride the brand name and then wind up being, you know, lose game after game because you're getting 10 and 12 points out of your quarterback.
Yeah, like you said, Philip Rivers was a lot of people's backup when they drafted him. He's
right.
He's turned into gold, obviously.
I guarantee you, whoever has Matt Ryan has either Flacco, Rivers, Roethlisberger. Maybe they had Vic or pick up Foles on the waiver wire. You know, probably had Cutler is probably their backup because Matt Ryan was drafted as a number one quarterback. He's not anybody's backup, so he's the man. Now, if you got a good backup quarterback, you may want to look at putting him in this week. On the other side of the ball, I mean, Doug Martin really hasn't done much this year. That whole offense hasn't. The only one who's really productive and I think is a must start is Vincent Jackson.
Yeah, he's doing great.
I mean, I was never a big Vincent Jackson fan. I thought he was a proponent of the offense that they had in San Diego, but he's been steady and solid and low-end number one since he's been in Tampa. Just seems to get big plays and touchdowns and quietly because they're such a, you know, bad team and the quarterbacks aren't very good. But right now, if you have a better option, Doug Martin may want to start sitting on your pine. I mean, now we're in week seven, guys. We can't, you know, say, oh, well, it's Doug Martin. Well, I got to play him because I draft. You got to think about sitting some of these guys for the best interest of your team.
This might actually be Tampa Bay's win here, though. I think that they are going to probably dismantle Atlanta. I just got a feeling that Atlanta's going to be in such disarray that this might be Glennon's, you know, come out game here, and he could actually have maybe we have a guy here, quarterback, that we can hang on to and keep going. So,
well, the reason why I don't think that's the case is the fact that Atlanta is coming off of a bye week. And the reason why, to me, that's important is they knew before they went into the bye that they lost Julio Jones.
Yes.
So they can game plan and practice and do everything and build some rapport. It's not like they found out about it on a Friday and they have to play on a Sunday. So, or during the, you know, middle of a game or whatever. So they've had time to prepare. I think they have enough to beat Tampa. But as far as fantasy, I'm sitting Matt Ryan. I'm sitting Roddy White. Only guy I'm playing on Atlanta is Tony Gonzalez. And the only one I'm saying is a must start for Tampa is Vincent Jackson. I meant the Falcons is Tony Gonzalez. And for Tampa is Vincent Jackson. And I'd be very, very cautious with Doug Martin going forward.
Carolina against the St. Louis Rams. Couple guys in both of these games that are going to get some attention. Or I'm looking at this Zach Stacy guy. Now, he has been given two games in a row with a soft run defense. Now he's going against a team that actually has a defense. So yep. I really am interested to see what he's going to be able to do there, and I don't think he's going to be able to do much personally. And then over on the other side, Jonathan Stewart's never coming back. Is that what's happening?
I hope not. I mean, I was big on D'Angelo Williams having a big first few games of the year. He's been solid, not spectacular, good for points for points per reception leagues, but you know, he's a low end number two or a flex running back. Cam Newton's a must start, especially in this game. Teams have been able to run up and down the field on St. Louis, so I look for D'Angelo Williams as a must start this week. I can see huge things out of D'Angelo Williams this week. I like Greg Olsen off of a bad week last week. You know, Steve Smith's been solid, but you know, the other receivers, I mean, a lot of people jumped on the Ted Ginn bandwagon. He didn't do anything last week. That's just inconsistent. That's why these guys are the way they are. They have a big game. They show a flash. Everybody jumps them on a waiver wire, and they put them in the next week, and they do nothing.
Yeah, Ginn's only saving grace is if you're in a league that also gives points for punt returns. So if you're in a league with Ginn, then he can get those. That may help you. But otherwise, you're 100% right. He's very inconsistent. His route is go deep.
Right,
that's his only route.
LaFell's is the same thing. He has humongous gains. Now, he's been scoring, LaFell's, but he just doesn't get enough targets. He just doesn't get enough yards. I mean, he had a big game last week. But, you know, ultimately, he's going to be that 50 yards a game, maybe a touchdown here and there. But he's not somebody, LaFell's, who's just going to light it up. So he's not worth a start unless you're desperate because of buys or injuries or can play four wide receivers or have, you know, a deeper roster. I'm not playing LaFell's, Ginn, I'm sorry, and Steve Smith. I mean, he had two catches, one of them for a touchdown, so he was got you 8 points or whatever he got you, but he's falling off. It's Cam Newton, it's D'Angelo Williams, it's Greg Olsen. That's the only ones I would say in this game I'd play.
Really? Tavon Austin, how bad is this guy? I mean, seriously, I don't understand. I remember in the preseason when Fisher was saying, well, we haven't unveiled all the stuff we're going to do with this guy. Is he still holding back on us? Come on.
You know, rookies, wide receivers don't come in, especially ones that aren't big wide receivers. I mean, big wide receivers have a better chance to come in and have an impact. But these guys like that, short and quick and this and that, they got to remember, they're coming into a league where they're just as fast and quick and agile as he is.
Well, what killed me on this, and more experience, but this absolutely killed me, though, because, of course, I took him high in some of the leagues I was in, and to see him perform as bad as he has in my dynasty league is just killing me, and I had visions of at least Deshaun Foster's rookie season, or Deshaun Jackson's rookie season.
Yeah.
And he's not even anywhere near that.
I don't think he's going to be much of an impact fantasy-wise this year.
Yeah. You think ever?
Ever's a long time. Let's see what he does. Like Floyd last year. Now, granted, they weren't drafted as early as he was. They went all the hype. But Floyd last year, Reuben Randall, they didn't come on until way late in the season. You know, so I would judge Tavon Austin if he's going to have a decent second year or future the last three or four games of the year.
Good point. You are correct. Reuben Randall, those kind of guys didn't come on until a little bit later. Of course, they also have better quarterbacks, so that may also help their situation.
Hey, Bradford's throwing around. Problem is there's so many receivers. Who's going to get it? That's why I wouldn't touch anybody on offense on that team.
Detroit against the Bengals. Lots of big playmakers on both of these teams, obviously. Giovanni Bernard, he looked electric out there playing against the Browns. And the Browns, you got to take serious now. They have themselves a nice defense. So he was able to kind of make those guys look like they were standing still at times. And Bush, even when he doesn't look like on TV he's having this monster game, you look at the end stats and you say, oh, wow, he's got himself like 120 combined yards here. So,
yeah, he's been solid. I tell you, there's going to be a new fantasy guy who's going to be creeping into everybody's, you know, that I talked about early in the year before the season even started on the Bengals. That's Marvin Jones.
Yeah, you love this Marvin Jones guy.
I've been talking about him, and rookie receiver who had a very big last three or four games for a rookie last year, and I kept an eye on that. I said, you know what, I think this guy is going to work his way into being the number two guy, and I think he's on his way. Sanu hasn't done anything. Gresham and Eifert are stealing points from each other, so they're really not somebody I'd want to play. Keep an eye on Marvin Jones. If he's on the waiver wire, I'd grab him, and I'd grab him quick. So AJ Green, he's not been the productive guy that I thought he was going to be. but he's still AJ Green, and you have to play him. And Andy Dalton, you know, this is going to be a shootout. This is a game where Andy Dalton's going to get close to 300 yards and three touchdowns. On the other end of the ball, you're going to play Stafford, although I'd be a little leery. He hasn't been lighting it up this year. And, you know, Reggie Bush is a must start. But after that, there's Calvin Johnson. He's injured. You're gonna play him, but you know, there's really no one took control of that number two spot yet. You know, Dunham, Broyles. I mean, with Nate Burleson's hurt, the tight ends, Pettigrew's useless. The other guy all he does catch touchdowns. Fiora, you know, Joyke Bell's got a rib injury, so he's not gonna be a factor in this game. So less and less options on Detroit. So, you know, Stafford, Bush, and Calvin Johnson, that's it, the standard brand names.
You know, at least that guy does catch touchdowns compared to the other tight ends there who don't want to catch the ball. He made some ridiculous catches, guys all over him, and he still caught the ball. So I see a guy who, okay, maybe they haven't force-fed him the ball very much. They might start this tight end. Because he at least catches the ball. The guy's got Velcro hands. I'm very impressed with his ability to hang on to the ball. And I think that somebody like a Stafford will reward him for at least catching these passes that he throws his way.
Oh, 100%.
100%. Yeah, Green Bay going against Cleveland. Green Bay, wow. They're all dropping like flies.
I have a tryout to be a receiver for them this week. I mean, they're trying out everybody. So, I mean... They got hit with the injury bug. A lot of injuries. A lot of brand names went down last week. DeMarco Murray and James Jones and Randall Cobb and Julio Jones. You know, major names going down. So this game, you're going to play Aaron Rodgers, although you're going to be disappointed because Cleveland has a pretty good defense.
Yes, they do.
And you're not going in and you're not blowing out Cleveland by 40 points. You know, they're not Jacksonville. So... You're going to see a very pedestrian game from Aaron Rodgers for two reasons. Well, three. One, Cleveland's defense. Two, they're focusing on running the ball with Eddie Lacy. Three, he's got nobody to throw to. So, dare I say, if there was ever a week, if you're desperate, this may be a week if you have Phillip Rivers as your backup, or you have somebody else as your backup, Eli Manning as your backup, you may want to sit Aaron Rodgers. This is the week to sit Aaron Rodgers.
This could be an NFL upset, honestly, with the Browns coming in. Browns here. You're right.
I thought Browns are for real. You know, and they're going to come after Rodgers, and he's going to have some inexperienced people running routes. So there's a chance he's going to throw some picks, and they're going to probably focus on using Eddie Lacy. The guy's more productive than any of us probably thought he would be in that offense, and the reason is they're giving him the ball.
Right.
Finley, they're talking about him being, split out like a wide receiver. I'm curious to see how that impacts anything. But now you lose a tight end in the mix. So, their offense, believe it or not, to say that Green Bay's offense could be in disarray this week, especially going against a good defense, I would consider sitting Aaron Rodgers. I'm going to make that bold statement. On the other end, there's going to be another guy I'm going to mention that you're going to start seeing – fantasy points creep up. Nothing major, but, keep an eye on it if you're desperate for a running back. It's Chris Abayani.
Yeah, Obanaya.
Obanaya, I'm sorry. Yeah. Catches the ball out of the backfield, runs a little bit, especially in a point for reception league, scored a touchdown last week.
Yeah, he's a really nice fit for that offense.
I like what I mean, McGahee's going to get the pounding the ball, but I think in this game they're going to be a little bit more creative. They're going to want to keep Brandon Weeden's not going to be able to get the ball down the field, so you're going to see a lot of dump-offs to him, a lot of dump-offs to Jordan Cameron. And I got to say, Cleveland's if they had a better quarterback, they got some offensive potential. Josh Gordon is the real deal, Holyfield.
Yeah, he is.
McGahee can get you 10 points. I mean, if that's your number two or your flex guy, I'll take 10 points.
And they're using him a lot, too. And then, like you said, they're not afraid about wearing down.
Not worried about ruining the guy. He's a year-by-year guy. Jordan Cameron is a nice tight end. He's in the top five. And that started with Brandon Weeden. It wasn't just, Hoyer was there. So that started with Brandon Weeden, and it's continued. And I like Abayani. Did I say it right?
No, not at all. Obanaya.
Obanaya.
How about, I heard somebody call him Silent G, which I thought was kind of clever.
Yeah.
Because this wandering G in his name for some reason doesn't
serve any weird. Purpose. It's weird. I mean, I was not calling him to be like Ike Bayani.
Yeah, that's fine.
You know, but he's, but you know, so they've got some potential weapons there, and some of them are worthy of a fantasy start. You're going to play Jordan Cameron. I would look at McGahee if you have you have a running back on a bye, or you had DeMarco Murray, you got a guy has a bad matchup. And Josh Gordon is a must-start. He's a solid number two wide receiver for any fantasy team. And Cameron's a number one tight end. There's actually more fantasy options on Cleveland than Green Bay. And that, those are words that have probably never, ever been spoken in the same sentence ever.
Yeah, not for a very long time, if ever. The Colts going against Denver, they're having a huge ta-da about Peyton Manning coming in. I think they said something about they're going to retire it or have some ceremony. I'm not even sure what it was, but some big to-do with Manning and Edwin James and Marvin Harrison. I think it's all just to distract Denver personally, but I don't think it's going to distract Manning at all.
And then you got the owner poking the bear, you know, making the comments about Peyton Manning, how you know, Brady has two rings. Steelers have two rings. You know, did you hear those comments?
No, I didn't. That's why
he basically
would
he do that? Said, was saying how, you know, for all the numbers and all the Star Wars numbers, as he called it, you know, Brady has two rings and the Steelers have two rings and the Giants have two rings and the Ravens have two rings and they only have one. Hmm. So it was really a dig and an insult to Peyton Manning to say,
very
all right,
much so. Why would he do that? That's talking about inconsiderate.
The week before he's coming in.
Well, so now you're gonna, especially all the money he made that owner. Jeez.
Well, right. You know, I mean, it really, yeah, exactly. So he definitely is poking the bear at the wrong time. You know, it's definitely, I wouldn't recommend it. A lot of fantasy value in this game. Humongous. I'm actually excited to watch this game on Sunday. This is the one time I did wait. I am waiting all day for Sunday night. Well, I think Luck's going to have a bounce back game. He's a must start. Denver's defense isn't very good. Trent, I think this is a game that they're going to try and run the ball with Trent Richardson. He didn't get many opportunities on Monday night against San Diego because they only had the ball like five or six times.
Yeah,
I've never seen anything like that. So I could see 20 carries out of Richardson and getting close to 100 yards in this game. You're going to play Reggie Wayne and you're going to play T.Y. Hilton. Kobe Fleener, you got to sit the guy. He can't catch.
No.
You know, he just cannot catch. So, I mean, you're going to play Andrew Luck in this game. You know, fantasy owners are going to play Trent Richardson. He's borderline sit at this point. But I keep thinking, you know, another week in the system, another week in the offense, he's going to have a good chance.
I see when he runs, I see his desire, his heart, his drive. He's definitely running with, you know, his legs are always moving. It just doesn't seem to be any holes for him to run through ever. And I don't know if that's his fault because he's running into people's backs or if there are no holes.
This is a finesse blocking team. And that's why you see, you know, he's, you know, Donald Brown is a quick back. That's why he's having the success he has. These guys aren't, this offensive line isn't going to bowl you over and give a big prodding back like Richardson a chance. The problem is with Richardson is they're running him, you know, between the tackles.
Every time.
They need to get him outside the tackles. And if they get him outside the tackles, you're going to start seeing 8 and 10-yard runs. Because Donald Brown stinks, and he's getting 8 and 10-yard runs.
They seem to give him the ball when everybody in the whole stadium knows he's getting the ball. And it's going right up the middle every time. It's like, well, what do you think was going to happen on that play?
Yeah, well, right. And, the concern I had more than anything was when Donald Brown was in it first and going to 3 two games ago.
Ooh.
You know, so when that's got Trent Richardson written all over it. So anyway, I mean, I'm still playing Richardson. I'm giving him a couple more weeks before I think about what to do with him. If he's still at 5 points a game, he's got to go on your bench or traded or whatever. Denver, and it's just a laundry list of people to play. You're going to play Manning. You're going to play Moreno. You're going to play Julius Thomas. You're going to play Demaryius Thomas. You're going to play Wes Welker. You're going to play Eric Decker, especially in this game. So. A lot of fantasy value in this game. A lot of games aren't going to be determined until late Sunday night, which is the way I like it. And it should be a real fun game to watch.
Yeah, how many Dynasty owners are crying about Monte Ball right now?
Well, again, Moreno's not the long-term answer, and he's injury-prone, so it's just a matter of time. I'd be concerned that Hillman seems to get a little bit more than he's getting right now. But, again, he's a rookie. He's going to get his chance. Dynasty owners, be thankful you have him. At some point, he's going to be the guy. He's looked pretty good when he's played. This Moreno's been unbelievable. Mm-hmm. So what can you do? And they're going for a championship. They're not looking to work in a rookie. They're looking to win a championship, and right now they're going to do it with Moreno as a running back.
Yeah, he's running with attitude, a lot of attitude.
Yep.
And he just keeps – he is the man right now. He really is. He really looks strong. He looks stronger than I've ever – might want to check him for, you know,
yep,
a little bit of a HGH or something like that.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, you know, there was a guy named Winslow up in New York that was looking really good all of a sudden. Moreno is one of those guys right now to me where it's kind of like, where did he – wait, he was terrible. Now he's all of a sudden amazing? What's happening here?
Yep.
So Jacksonville's going against San Diego, and looks just like the poor Denver game against Jacksonville. Now they go against Rivers, and he's going to be throwing all over them.
Yeah. You know, a lot of people who have Ryan Matthews is probably doing backflips after the game he had on Monday night. I wouldn't look for that to continue.
No way. No way. Woodhead.
Woodhead's the guy there. I think he's the primary guy. It just happened that their game plan was to just run the ball and keep the Colts offense off the field. They did a great job. They had the ball for 40 minutes. It was unbelievable. Gates is a must start, and I'm really liking what I'm seeing from Keenan Allen.
Mm-hmm.
He's their number one guy. He is. With the injuries they've had at wide receiver, Vincent Brown looked good. Eddie Royal for a while, but he got hurt. But Keenan Allen was targeted a ton, caught a touchdown. Again, rookies maybe hitting his stride. Looking like he could be one of the premier rookies this year as far as a wide receiver. In a low end, he's going to be a low number three. He's a number three receiver at this point, or four if you go that deep. But he's definitely worthy of consideration of putting in your lineup. On the other end, there's Justin Blackmon's the only guy I'm playing. I'm not playing Maurice Jones-Drew. I haven't seen it. You know, he's shot, I think. Justin Blackmon's the real deal. I mean, that guy's...
I was going to ask you, is he going to be able to do this the whole season, or is this a trade him now while he's still hot type player?
You know, if he has another game, you're really going to be in a dilemma. Because if he has another big game, you're going to be like, I can't trade him because he's doing really good consistently now for three games.
Right.
If you trade him and he has it, you're going to kick yourself for trading him because, you know, it's kind of, you got to just kind of take the risk. That's what fantasy football is about. I mean, it's a game of luck, but the skill comes in making decisions like this. Do you trade him while he's hot, knowing his background and in the offense he's on and the injuries that he's had? Or do you say, look, I think I have myself a stud wide receiver and I'm going to ride the wave? You know, both things can backfire on you. So, tough decision for Justin Blackmon owners. But the one thing you will say is they will throw a lot because they're going to be losing a lot.
Yeah. Kansas City's going against Houston. This is, you predicted this. And
yeah.
Everything seems to be falling in line. Kansas City is on pace to be one of the last undefeated teams in the league. They're going against Houston. This, before the season started, looked like it was going to be a good game. Now it looks like it's just going to be just, you know, no challenge at all, and the Chiefs are going to march all over them.
This is a game I'd be real careful if I'm a Chiefs fan, because this is the kind of game where, out of nowhere, Houston can come out and win the game. But it's not going to happen. Chiefs are solid on both sides of the ball. I have them in my redraft league. We do offense or defensive special teams. I got 42 points out of them last week.
Hmm.
You know, we got the 7-point bonus for under 10. I got 3 points for a turnover and 2 points for a sack. They had 10 sacks.
10 sacks, yeah.
10 sacks. You know, under 10 points and three turnovers and boom, 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 42 points. But the thing is, the Texans are a turnover factory, which means that's what's going to make a lot of these guys on offense for the Chiefs a lot better, is they're going to have the ball in good position. Alex Smith's not a good play for him this week because of that. I think there's going to be a lot of short fields. Jamaal Charles is the main focus there. Nobody else has really stepped up, to include Dwayne Bowe. I thought this was going to be a humongous year for him. Very disappointing, and he should be on your bench. The only guy in Kansas City worth playing year, week in, week out, where you're not looking at matchups, is Jamaal Charles. He's probably the top running back right now, him and McCoy. So on the other end of the ball, on the other side of the ball, I mean, you're going to play Andre Johnson. You're going to play Arian Foster. You're not going to play anybody else. And losing Owen Daniels is really going to hurt that offense. So showed last week they weren't very good. Schaub has just been a mess. He has no confidence. He's almost afraid to throw the ball, which is going to mean a lot of picks. So if he's your quarterback, run for the hills. This game could get ugly quick.
Yeah, real ugly. Now, question for you here. We have a lot of guys, and you said it earlier, we need to make sure that we get rid of guys that are just dead weights now. We've drafted them. They may have been high picks, and we're clinging to them for life, but we got to cut them eventually, right? Who are some guys out there that you're just saying, cut them now, trade them now, get rid of these guys no matter what you can do?
Well, I wouldn't. These aren't guys I would talk about cutting, but I would say before they go to the depths of useless and valueless, there's a bunch of guys that you may want to start looking at to trade to try and get an upgrade. I'm going to go right to this game. I see two that jump out. Andre Johnson's one. If he's on your team, I don't see big things from him this year. He's got the nagging injuries. The offense is in disarray. The way Schaub is playing, you're going to want to run the ball a lot more. You know, Dwayne Bowe's another one. I mean, if you can't make it in Andy Reid's offense, I mean, he's averaging like 40 or 50 yards a game. He's got to go. Another guy that I would absolutely consider trading, Le'Veon Bell.
Yeah, good.
You know, the reason I say that is everyone's going to be high on him. He's come back. That offensive line is poor, and they're not a good run-blocking offensive line. And he'll get some points, but I think you can get more back because everyone's going to say, he's the Steelers, you know, feature back. I'm going to get major. You'll be majorly disappointed. Another guy that you may want to, you know, trade him while he's hot, and I know that we just talked about him, is no Sean Moreno. Guy's injury prone. You know, the guy does have the case of fumbleitis. See, I mean, if that comes back again, you know, they may start using Monte Ball. So, you know, these are guys that you have to really look at their track record and say, are they exceeding their expectations? And do I get something for them while I can? Knowing that I may be trading away a gem and screwing myself, but you got to take these risks at this point in the season. If you're at, you know, 4-3 or 3-4 and you're trying to make a move and you have one of these guys who are a brand name, you know, you may want to look to move a Matthew Stafford. You know, and Aaron Rodgers is another one. You know, he's not going to be the offensive player do you think he is this year just because the offense is focusing on the run. He's got the injuries now at wide receiver. You know, maybe the loss of Greg Jennings was more than we thought. You know, they have a better defense, so, you know, they're not going to be blowing guys. You know, they're not going to be in shootouts. So, you know, they're going to win 24-12, you know, to 17 instead of 35-31. So, those are ones that just jump at me right now. What do you think?
How about Chris Johnson? Fitzgerald? How about Frank Gore?
Frank Gore, absolutely. I like Kendall Hunter better. I think Kendall Hunter was the focus back. The guy would be 1,400 yards. I'll tell you what, Hakeem Nicks.
I think somebody like a Frank Gore, though, who is currently hot. I like that idea you were saying before. Somebody who's currently hot, who is on pace to fall apart.
Yeah.
And Frank Gore, he's, of course, you know, is he now the all-time leading rusher for San Francisco? I think I heard them talk about that.
He
very well could be, but that offense in general is suffering. And that's Kaepernick is the issue there. And I think what's going to end up happening in the second half of the season is defenses are going to pile on and they're going to stop that run and they're going to say, Kaepernick, go ahead, try and beat us. And I don't think he's been able to prove that he can this year. Like you had said before, defenses catch up to young quarterbacks.
Yep.
Young running quarterbacks. They've caught up to him, it appears, this year. So they're going to stop Gore. Stop Gore. If you stop Gore, you stop San Francisco, you win the game.
Well, right. And those are guys. I mean, C.J. Spiller's another one.
Those guys? He just can't stay healthy. That's his problem.
Well, and the thing is, I'd feel more comfortable with Fred Jackson right now. Other than last week, Fred Jackson was averaging 10 points a week. So now you also have the other end of it. you know, who are the guys that you'd trade for?
We're going to save that one. We're going to save trade fours for Saturday.
Sounds good.
Saturday's show. So everybody needs to tune in. We're done with half the league right now. So you guys got to come back Saturday. We're going to break down the other half of the league, and you're going to see who we want to trade for.
Nice.
Okay. For Chris Bellina, the guru, I'm Kyle Omler, and you've been listening to The Blitz.
How's it going?